Order Americano in Italy. See what they give you.
They like okay, if this is what you want, and then they drop their chows and diarrhea into a cup and like, here's your fucking Americano coffee.
This is what you ordered. This is spit from everybody in the cafe. It's in this.
Just be careful. It might be more flavor than you're used to.
Sexy, spooky, bones.
And welcome to the Skeleton Boys, a horror movie podcast. I am Rolando.
And I'm J-J-J-J-J-J-Flo.
You're missing some of that.
J-Flo. Whoa.
And welcome to the show. This week, we are reviewing Maxine. As always, Sean will give us the plot in five words. We'll give our first thoughts.
Hold on. Isn't it pronounced, correct me if I'm wrong, but I'm pretty sure it's pronounced Maxine.
Well, how do you pronounce X?
Maxine.
How do you pronounce X? S? S?
Oh, I guess it could be Z, right?
Mazine.
Is it Mazine?
Mazine.
It's Mazine. Everybody's been getting it wrong.
Mazzy Star.
poor Mia Goth was saying her name wrong the time. Maybe it's Mazine.
They Minx. She just went with it.
Mazine Minz.
Yeah. I mean, either correct her or face her wrath, right? Like, she's
a little... Yeah, I know, yeah.
These movies are a documentary.
She seems like the sweetest person that might kill you. I don't know. She's kind of like that, the killer rabbits from Monty Python.
Oh, yeah, yeah. That's right. where did I leave off? And then we go to do spoiler analysis. I think that's where I left off. But first, we go back to TV Corner. We're watching Chucky, Season 2, Episode 6... He is risen indeed.
Yes.
So.
Which, the initials of this are H-I-R-I.
Oh, which means?
I'm just letting you know. I have no idea.
Harry.
It's kind of like Inri, right? I-N-R-I, right? Wasn't that on Christ's cross or something? It's related somehow. We figured out something.
Yeah.
We're very smart people.
Trust us.
Detective yeah. Chuckies.
Yeah. Okay. What are your thoughts on this? Should we just start at the end? Like we always do.
We could, yeah.
We lost an important character.
We did. A character that I thought was going to be gearing up for more, but...
She very well could be, but not as that character.
No, that's true. Because we were kind of casually talking about how it seems like they really buffed the cast just to make the kill count higher. I don't know.
Yeah, they literally buffed up one of the Chuckies.
Yeah, they did. And then quite... Well, I thought it was pretty clever. So for whatever reason, the Colonel Chucky, right? The Marlon Brando Chucky... wanted to kill him? Oh, I sent you a text. Like, the most exciting thing about this episode was the beginning, and then I just was okay with the episode.
Oh, that's right. Yeah, that's what you were referring to. Well, let me look at what you actually...
I was referring to the psychiatrist lady being Charlie Ray's psychiatrist when he was going to that school. That's the only reason she's helping him. Dr. Amanda Mixter.
But she's only appeared on the flashback from last year. Is that correct?
Yes.
That would have been the only time we would have seen her.
Was it the same actress? No, right?
No, I think she was younger.
Hopefully.
I don't remember. I just remember him having that, like, deranged Peter Pan thing.
Yes. I mean, that's all I remember, too.
But I
didn't catch... I mean, it didn't occur to me that any of these people would have been the people to help Charles E. Ray.
Right.
I feel like she's still too young. Does that make sense?
No. I think that tracks, because technically, what this is... canonically, Child's Play is present day 1988. Is that right? 86? I don't know when that...
86. But Charles Lee Ray was already roughly 30?
Yeah, exactly.
You know what I mean? So it would have had to at least been 15 years before
70s?
That?
Maybe-ish.
So...
And she's an old lady, right?
But... That's true.
Made sense. I don't know. I mean, I'm sure if we like pick it apart, it'll probably make less sense, but it made sense at the time.
Maybe we should.
Let's continue. Yeah, picking the scab of this.
Yeah.
No, I mean, it made sense. She would be... If she was a working psychiatrist time, the oldest she could probably be is what? 25, 30?
Yeah, and something like
we
that.
We guess now... In the 70s.
So it should be like 70 something.
That tracks. She has old white hair.
Yeah. Yeah, that's true. You can't argue that she would be feeble or anything like that because Dick Van Dyke still exists in the world. So.
Yeah, that's right.
It's like 90 something still walking better than me.
Yeah, I'm pretty sure you can still do that. Couch gag. From I Dream a Genie. I Dream a Genie, or he'd fall, he'd trip over the couch. Really sophisticated.
So, yeah, she's got some sort of investment in him, but.
Well, why? Because she was. Do we understand why yet?
I don't know. I am starting to think that she was the one that conditioned him to become a full fledged killer.
No.
Because she mentioned something about. You always had this softness about you, and I just try to weed that out. Like, there's a whole conversation she has with Good Chucky when she steals Good Chucky.
How could she professionally get away with that for so long?
In a Catholic school?
Yeah, but she's not... She didn't... She was at that school, but it was an orphanage. It wasn't the Catholic school yet, right? That's the way it's presented in the flashback.
Yes.
So.
I'm not sure, but yeah, I mean, she did. There was that whole conversation she had with Good Chucky. Like,
yeah.
There was always a softness about you.
Ugh. I think they're going to elaborate on it because I think this part, another place they ended with, she was pointing a gun at the kids, right? Is that correct?
Well, she got away. She ran away because.
Oh, that's right, because they're in lockdown.
Andy pointed a gun at her, and she was able to get away, and she basically said, like, toodaloo. No, I forgot what she said, but she was like, I'm Carmen Sandiego, and she, like, whisked off into the night.
Yeah.
But I think Good Chucky ran away. Like, Good Chucky's also MIA, right? Like, because he ran away freaking out.
Who found... Who saw...
Devin Sawa...
At the end, like the kids. It was all the kids, or it was one kid. I remember being like one kid. Was it the girl, the blonde one. Girl found Good Chucky killer, or was it Jake? Lexi, was it Lexi, or was it Jake, or both, or all three?
Found Good Chucky.
Caught, because they saw Good Chucky throw.
Oh yeah.
What's her name?
Nadine off. Very vertigo style off the clock tower thing.
Right. And that's where it ended, right? Am I crazy?
Oh, no, you're right. Yeah, yeah. Because he ran away and he was freaking out. So he ran up there and he was like contemplating killing himself. And then Nadine said something about fairies. And he's like, you know what fairies also do? They fly. And she pushes her out.
Mm.
And then it seems like he has a moment of like, what did I just do? But also, I don't know if I believe him.
All right. All right.
But I'm also inclined to believe him. I don't know. It's really weird.
Well, it's like an interesting dynamic. He's like a check on Hyde, maybe.
Yeah.
We see the Colonel,
but now,
right? I'm sorry, I was going to move on and talk about the kernel a bit.
Oh. I was just going to mention quickly that they did. So now Devon Sawa, the nun that's been that's had their back the entire time, have seen Chucky alive.
That's right.
And run away. So now they are aware that the dolls
talk, move. Yeah. And she's shot. Right.
That's right.
She's shot. Yeah. Right. Yep. But they're on lockdown. So
the nun that's a little too obsessive with faith and wanting to find the second coming of Christ.
Right.
It possibly is being groomed to be the next Tiff.
She may take a turn, yeah. Yeah, that's a good call, because...
Because Chucky says something about, like, she shows her hair is red coming through the thing, like, I did this for you. It's like, oh, you look better as a blonde.
Right.
That was me, sorry. I know. It sounded like a sound.
Yeah, it was... It's like, there's no clips. How did we get clips of this moment?
Brad Dourif's going to sue us.
He's going to sue the hell out of us. No, he's okay. He's still got that Lord of the Rings money. He'll be fine.
You were saying
I wanted to just talk about the colonel, because we kind of saw he was like kind of the at the tail end of last episode, and then he's kind of the main character of this before he dies off. Yeah, so what I was gonna say is he the one that sent the good Chucky to do reconnaissance? Is that the implication there? Because he seems to be killing other Chuckies too.
Yeah, I think he sent both.
Yes.
And I think the only reason he kills...
Muscle Chucky.
Chuckoid. Right? Roided Chucky. Yeah. the Chuckster. He kills the Chuckster, but I think only because that Chucky failed to do what he was supposed to do.
Yes, he was supposed to kill... Good Chucky. Somebody. I think he was supposed to kill Good Chucky, but Good Chucky's still alive. So I think is what he said. And then they have like a... thing, and then he poisons the wafer crackers, which kills the whatever Chucky. Yeah,
which is really funny that Chuckoid is like constantly eating calories because he's supposed to be buff. But that's how doll bodies work too.
And so the colonel, this is actually a callback from the first episode, right? Because the colonel, there was a bald Chucky who was. That woke up in the van and was like, what did I miss? I didn't get my knife. But then over the year, he's been turned into the colonel, which is sort of a play on Colonel.
Is it
Apocalypse? Yeah, Apocalypse Now. Colonel Klutz? Klutz? I'm sorry, I don't remember these things off the top of my head. Great acting also. Brad Dourif.
Yeah. Brad Dourif did an amazing
job. Very, very spot on Marlon Brando impersonation. Very good. Very funny.
He's a little like, I don't think we can go to the thing. Blah,
blah, Marlon? Are you here? No, I'm just kidding.
Yeah. I'm not dead.
What? Why didn't you do more work in Superman? Why'd you phone it in?
I was going to pretend to be him, but I don't want to make him seem like... Because that shit's gay. That guy wears underwear, yet his panties outside. It's my impersonation of any actor of that era.
I don't know. Just ask Chris Reeves. He's still around, right?
Yeah.
Reevesy. That was my nickname for him. Okay.
It seems like everybody's... A lot of major players got killed off within like the last like 10 minutes.
Yes. One of my favorite things about this show, you don't get attached to everything, anybody, because they're not afraid to kill people off, except for Kyle, which is back, which I was surprised.
Yeah, Kyle is back.
Well, to be fair, I wouldn't say I would be surprised, but since there was no body, right, at when the house blew up last season.
Yeah.
So I assumed she would pop up again. Because everybody survived.
I wonder where Kyle's hair... She's wearing a wig? And I'm wondering if like her hair got burnt off or something.
Oh, yeah, that's true. That's a good catch. She has a different appearance from when we...
Yeah, they keep... Like, Chucky keeps pointing that out.
That's right. So you're right. There could be a bit of a surprise there. But she is now with Glenda and Nika, right?
Nika and Chucky, which now we're finding out is the original Chucky.
Yes, Nika is the original Chucky, which is makes sense because that's why Tiffany wanted to keep her alive, which is a question I had, which now makes sense. Because technically that's Charles Lee Ray, Nika, right?
Yes, correct. Which, I don't know if you caught this, but that actress is actually Brad Dourif's daughter.
You don't have an impersonation of her? Nika, are you here?
What's everybody talking about here?
Fiona. Fiona's called in. yeah, so it seems like things are kind of...
I know.
Yeah, it seems like things are kind of finally coalescing, so things are kind of coming together now. Seems like that's the incarnate Lord. It's going to be kind of the end spot for all of this. Curious how they get out of this season. Whether they...
Do you think they're going to kill Andy?
Nah, I think Andy's too important. I don't see Don Mancini killing off any of his... legacy characters? Is that a good way to put it? Because he hasn't yet. Just based on what I've seen, he hasn't killed any of those.
That is very, very true.
So I'm assuming he is very fond or sees big things for them in this show.
Something I'm looking forward to. Oh, no, he's not in this episode. It doesn't matter. okay. Something I'm looking forward to is... we are two episodes away from the end, and the last episode is called Chucky Actually.
Oh, nice.
So it's going to be a Christmas episode.
Yeah. Oh, nice. I think this season, real quick, I just want to say, overall, I think this season, since it's almost over, we're nearing the end. They have two episodes left. I feel like they've detoured, and it's probably been less focused than the first season.
Yeah.
It feels like they're having a little... I don't know, fun while also trying, but that's steering us from the plot, and it just seems like they didn't have enough plot to get them through these eight episodes, in my opinion.
Yeah.
Especially with the kids going to this, because I feel like the kids somehow are getting completely it's very slow paced the story, if that makes sense. It's only this episode that things are starting to move a bit.
Yeah, it does feel a lot like either everything's happening at the same exact time.
Right.
And we're seeing episodes where this happened at the same time as this, but there's nothing to ensure that's what's going on. Because otherwise, it feels like there's at least a couple of days in between where nothing, Chucky doesn't do anything and the kids are fine.
Yeah.
Otherwise, all this happened within a week, but I don't, or less than a week.
Yep. Mm-hmm. It's a good call.
But also maybe I'm trying to make...
No, I feel like the season's been disjointed a bit. They've tried to flesh it out with different things that were unrelated to the plot, while the plot has been kind of just non-existent to slow. Yeah. So, we'll see. There's three more episodes left.
Two, right?
Oh, excuse me. Yeah, two more episodes left before... the season ends, so I think I think I'm getting a little I'm enjoying it.
Maybe you're getting a little okay. I was wondering if you're getting Chucky fatigued.
A little bit, I'd say. I'm getting a little tired. I'm getting a little fatigued with the progression of this season specifically, because I was a fan of the. I'm still a fan of the show overall, but yeah. I would say this season's been my least favorite so far. But you never know. There's two episodes left. I have to. Hold my
really turn
complete
around,
opinion. Yeah. See how they end it.
Because I will say, I know you weren't a particularly fan of it, but I did like the murder mystery episode.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
It was fun. But yeah.
You know I hate fun.
Episode 6.
So. My whole thing. So. Alrighty. Let's move over to our main review of Mazine.
Full name Mazine Minz.
Yeah. Yeah. Okay. Okay. Let's do it. John, do you give us the plot? Five words.
Johnny.
Five words.
Plot summary.
Rolando, drum roll, please. For Mazine, aka Maxine, coming in at number 3, star killing it in Hollywood.
Oh, good job. Nice.
Coming in at number 2 for Mazine, cowards, show us Jaws right. It's just my gripe about not seeing all of Universal.
Take me on the whole tour.
I know it existed. And coming in at number 1 for Mazine, another actor with daddy issues.
Oh. Nice. These were fire, by the way. These are all great. So, John, is this the greatest trilogy ever made, or is this just the best trilogy ever made?
I don't know. It's like you watch X and you're like, ah, that movie was okay. Then you watch Pearl and you're like, what the fuck did I watch? And then this just ties it all together. It doesn't really. I was thinking when I left the theater, I was like, eh, I can't wait for this to come out in like some sort of fun box set. I'll buy it.
Yeah. I think what I'm also kind of teasing at is that this movie has a lot of hype, probably for horror fans, the most anticipated movie. To see, do you think it lived up to the hype?
I think it did. It was a great fun ride. It's kind of funny watching a movie like this, because you've already established what kind of person Maxine is. And I think they did a great job, now that we've kind of briefly talked about it, but I guess you don't have to have seen the other two movies. I mean, specifically X, because that's more of a sequel to this, right?
Mm-hmm.
Or this is a sequel to that. So if you hadn't seen those movies, you're unaware of Maxine's past. And she gets assaulted within like the first 10 minutes of the movie, because she's trying to walk home and she accidentally walks down the wrong street on Hollywood Boulevard, 1985. And this dude dressed up as Buster Keaton's trying to, like, I don't know, kill her or probably potentially rape her or something.
Right. Mm-hmm.
And she goes full Maxine mode. So you get an idea of who Maxine is, and it's like, oh, that's kind of fun.
Mm-hmm.
It's essentially like, you're not worried about her in the movie, right? Because she's almost got like a superhero level status, or villain, I don't know, depending on how you look at it.
Yeah. Well, I think for me that there's definitely like, X was kind of like a, you know, a homage to like 70s slashers, and Pearl was played with
Pearl
was kind of like playing with the idea of like I don't know, like Wizard of Oz, Technicolor, early film, you know.
You know that, and also a prominent part of this movie is they visit the Bates Motel and the house. I was like, oh yeah, I don't know why I never connected that. That was like a big influence on Pearl too.
Yes, and X, right?
Yeah. And X, sorry, X, yeah. More X, sorry.
Yeah, and I think that like all those films work, because I think Mia Goth is doing really like super unhinged great work in those movies, specifically Pearl, which we both enjoyed.
Would you say she's doing the Lord's work?
Yeah. And I think this third one, going into Maxine, and I knew this was what it was. I knew the hype was real, and I do not buy into hype. And I think this movie was like crushingly disappointing. For a trilogy?
Oh, no.
For a finale?
Yeah.
Like, crushingly disappointing. Like, I think that the style still remains there in all the movies. It definitely, like, looks great. Los Angeles, 1980s. I think he does a wonderful job. Ty West, director, you know, cinematographer, yeah. like, does a great job of, recreating the 80s in fun, interesting ways, you know, where it had a lot of, like, vividness and, like, a lot of style and glamour to it, and also the seedy kind of gross parts of Hollywood of the time. All very believable, right? Very noir, neo-noir soaked areas and films and stuff, you know? But I feel like, I think that the movie suffers from her, Mia Goth's character. Maxine is kind of passive in this story. She's not really, things are happening to her, but she doesn't really take an active involvement in this story. She's always running away from, like, things that are going on around her. And when she does, you know, and we'll talk in spoilers, and it's kind of a mystery who's trying to kill her. Maxine has, like, a stalker. But Maxine has a stalker and is trying to get to her, or you know, and she, and the stalker knows about the her past, which is X. So
yes, that, as well as being raised in the church,
right? And I found, and we'll get to spoilers, I found the ending of this movie more confusing. I was left with more questions than it feeling like, oh, this whole thing was, like, perfectly wrapped up, conceived. I don't think they landed it as a perfect trilogy. I would even go as far as to say that you really don't even have to watch X to watch this movie. X is great. Like if you liked this, you can watch X and be like, okay, that kind of adds in more details, finer details to it. But I don't think it really,
yeah.
It doesn't really, like, enhance the plot very much of what's going on here, in my opinion.
I suppose not. Because I think a lot of it, though, unless you're watching the movie and just assuming, like, is she being haunted by something? Like, what was with the old lady hands? Or, like,
right. Mm-hmm.
They keep referencing something, like, she killed somebody, who was that? And they don't really point it out.
Yeah.
The most you get is, like, the porn tape that they were kind of recording at the beginning. You see a snippet of that.
I think part of the problem is the way X ended. I'll try not to spoil that, but, like, the way X ended, it seemed a little implausible for anything to come back to her. So it was a surprise to find that this movie was about her past comes back and haunts her as she's trying to become a movie star and everything, or try to make it or get out of the porn business and become a movie star.
Yeah. So you're having, well, that's where the antagonist comes in, right?
You're right. That's, yeah, that was, to me, like, disappointing and kind of confusing. And I don't think the narrative is as strong as the last two movies, personally. Though I did, okay. I think this movie has great amount of, like, I like the movie. Like, it has a great amount of style. And, like, I thought Mia Goth is great in this. And there's a lot of, like, you know, popular, really good actors in supporting roles in this, which enhanced the overall movie. And I think he did a really good job of recreating that era in film, you know. Even of this time, if this movie were to come out then, it would be like something like a Video Nasty, right? It would be something like X-rated or whatever the rating of the time was. So it has, like, all those, like great pieces together, but I don't think it really, like, for me, like, added anything to the overall character Maxine's, like, arc of it.
I see. I mean, okay. I think differently about okay. that.
Yeah, that's fine.
I do believe that it kind of rounds out her character. I think the point of having the prequel Pearl was to showcase the real reason. Oh, is this like spoiling? I guess I would be spoiling the other movies. The real reason Pearl had a thing against Maxine.
That we could say that.
That's what Pearl wanted, and yeah, and Maxine, that's what she wants too. And I think Pearl is just jealous because Pearl is already old.
Yeah. No, that's
and there's also a lot of throwback references to Maxine saying the same lines that Pearl said in the movie, the second movie.
Mm-hmm.
As far as like the past coming to haunt her, I do think it's they found the tape and they try to locate some of the actors that were in there, and of course at some point it's going to lead back to Maxine signed a deal. So I think that's just where the antagonist comes into play. God, I'm trying not to say one word in particular that would ruin everything.
Yeah.
But I kind of hinted at it in one of the plot summaries.
What did you think of the way he created the 80s?
Yeah, I thought it was pretty good. It wasn't bad. I was mentioning how low budget this film was. Because I do remember when they were shooting this, a lot of my friends were working on this.
Mm-hmm.
It was right before, I mean, basically everybody was getting shut down because of the writer's strike.
Mm-hmm.
And Maxine, the show I was working on, maybe like two other shows were the only shows actually shooting in Hollywood at the time that were union.
Mm-hmm.
So yeah, they had to cut some corners, but I think it really played off. Do you think it worked? Do you think Bobby Cannavale is Vasquez or?
So anybody hears this show knows that Bobby Cannavale is not one of my favorite actors. Yeah.
Torres. His name is Detective Torres. Sorry.
I thought he was fine. He was fine. Like for the level of, so there's two detectives, right? There's Michelle Moynihan and Bobby Cannavale or whatever. And like I found both of them like curious as to why they were cast in this. It's kind of, they're like not necessarily big parts, right?
So no, but they're kind of like the comedic relief. You know, yeah. What they reminded me mm-hmm. of? The cops from Halloween 4?
The unintentionally funny ones.
Yeah.
Yeah.
They were just like goofy and kind of doing their thing. I think that was intentional.
Yeah.
How did you like a little surprise cameo, which it might just be for a niche group of us, but Toby Huss as the coroner in that one scene? I was like, that's Toby Huss. I think my brother saw it with my brother.
That's right.
And we both were like, Toby Huss.
Yeah.
It's Artie. He's the strongest man in the world.
Yeah. He's.
And then, of course, this is after Yellow Jackets and they've been saved. Oh no, Yellow Jackets takes place in the 90s, yeah. Right? Shit. How the hell is Sophie Thatcher in this?
Yeah, Sophie Thatcher is also in this. Yeah, it's littered with a lot of recognizable faces, I'd say.
Yeah. Elizabeth Debicki.
Yeah, she's like she was in The Crown, right? She played Princess Diana, famously.
Yes, and she was also Adam Warlock's mother in
right.
Not mother, but she was in the Guardian series as the main gold lady.
Yeah, I think she's also in Tenet, right? Is that her other big thing?
Yeah, Tenet, Great Gatsby.
I think that was her first movie.
Like Widows, but that's fair.
Yeah.
That sounds right.
Anyways.
Widows, but I can't say I really enjoyed that movie.
That's a little bit of an odd casting choice, but I thought she did well playing a horror director who's trying to elevate horror.
Your favorite
my
kind.
Favorite kind, my favorite words.
Elevated horror.
Yeah.
It would have been even better if this was produced by, like, who does elevated horror? Like, A24.
Oh, what? Shit. Who produced shit. This? I mean, I like the
Giancarlo Esposito.
Yeah, more cameos. What was it? I actually really liked that they went to the Psycho set. I thought those, like, I don't think it's ever been used in that way before, which I thought was really, that's really smart, clever. Like,
I don't think so. Yeah,
kind of using it as like a. You know, there's like a certain scene that happens there, and I thought the way they used it was great because they do reference it and it's visible, right? So I thought that was like, well, that's really smart to kind of show that set and everything. That's Universal, right? It's up on the Universal lot, is that right?
Yeah, it's Universal lot, which is funny because I kept pointing out, like again, I saw with my older brother, I'm like, oh, look right there, that's where the original Back to the Future set was at before it caught fire. I think they rebuilt part of it. And then we see that set later when she's running through the sets. Mm-hmm. If you catch it, you catch it. The town square.
That's right, yeah. The.
And then that and more recently, the cowboy set from the fake movie in Once Upon a Time in Hollywood.
Right.
They run by quickly, and the only reason I remember that is because I accidentally backed up a truck into a part of the flooring part of that set and broke it, and I didn't say anything. I just drove off because I was driving a cube truck.
Well, you've said it now, so it's
yeah. You can try to catch
insurance it. Is get them.
Halsey's in it. Your favorite musician. you didn't have to look
that up. I just found that's my favorite musician from about 5 minutes ago. I know all her work. Very good.
Kevin Bacon, famously Sosie Bacon from Smile's dad.
That's, yeah. So that, oh, that's Sosie Bacon's dad. I didn't put that together. Wow.
her mom is, I don't think anybody.
Honestly.
Somebody named Kira. Kira Sedgwick or something.
Oh, unfamiliar. Oh. She's not a closer or anything, right?
No. No.
Anyways, what is he gonna say? That is one performance was probably, aside from Mia Goth's performance, I thought she's really good in it. Specifically the beginning when she's auditioning for the part. Again, she does
that was great.
Amazing monologue, similar to like the Pearl one where she just like steals the whole scene, and she's just interesting the way does the monologue and everything. But I would say my other favorite character and performance in this is Kevin Bacon. I thought he was excellent in this. Oh my god,
he's fucking great. Yeah,
he is fantastic in this. Plays scummy Louisiana detective. So
yeah, he's fantastic. Yeah, I mean, he's kind of the only other main character really throughout the movie.
Yeah.
Otherwise it's just Mia Goth trying to get by, like, she finally gets her shot, and then of course all this shit's happening at the same time, so she's trying to tread lightly to figure out what to do.
Right. Mm-hmm.
I think it's a big deal that she's a porn star that's about to break through.
I feel like everything that they set up, I was expecting more, like her, the way the movie sets up, it's like she kind of gets this like one shot to kind of leave her her porn background and become a movie star, right? Potentially. And I think, like, surprisingly, everything plays out pretty straightforward. It lacked a little bit of like tension, and like there's not a lot of momentum to the plot to me. Like,
yeah,
it's pretty much everything set up within like those 10 minutes, and that's kind of like all we're really kind of like distilling. And there's really no, like enough twists or turns in the story that really kind of made it to me it was missing a little bit.
That's fair. Yeah, I will say, I think in the grand scheme of things, everything happens within 48 hours, right?
I would say a little bit more time than that, but yeah, roughly.
Because she gets cash, she goes in the next day, which would be a Friday.
Next weekend, because it's the weekend, right? And then she's supposed to go Monday, and then she's late for Monday. I think they mentioned that, like, first thing Monday. She said, take the weekend off, and then...
Yeah, so then the rest of the movie plays out that either that night, Friday night, or Saturday.
Yeah, because she's still late the first day, right? We don't even see the movie performed, right? Like, they don't even show any... To me, that seemed like a bit of a missed... Well, no, they're filming a little bit of it with Lily Collins' character, right?
Yes, because she plays... So this is supposed to be a sequel to the movie called The Puritan.
Right.
And Halsey's character or whatever...
No, Lily Collins. Lily Collins, yeah.
Lily Collins, sorry. Is The Puritan?
What? Yes. Lily Collins was the actress in the first Puritan. Hazley was her friend at the peep show she worked at.
Tabby Martin. Yeah, Molly Bennett. And then Larry Fessenden, which I thought was like a fun little cameo too, but nobody's gonna really know who that is.
Oh, we do.
Yeah, security guard. Yeah.
He had a fun cameo too.
He's like, I'm Maxine Meeks, and he's like, yeah, you are. I'm like, okay. He's like always perfectly cast as a sleazy guy.
Yeah. Are you ready to talk about spoilers?
Yeah,
it's kind of spoilers. Okay. All right, we're going to spoilers.
Wait! No, stop talking, guys. Stop the podcast. Please stop the podcast. Because we're about to go into...
Spoilers.
So Mia Goth played Pearl and Maxine.
Spoiler.
So she had to, like, go out of frame, make her hands old, and then do a weird contortionist flex to make her own hands rest on her shoulders when she was getting the prosthetic thing done.
Weird fact, Mia Hamm has old woman hands. Mia Goth.
She has old women. She's also barely got any eyebrows in real life.
Yeah. Freckles. A lot of freckles.
Thanks.
We should probably talk about the ending. Like, so the big reveal, the killer is...
Her dad.
Her dad.
Her padre, which is a double entendre. Because he's a priest.
He's not Catholic. He's a Christian, isn't he? Doesn't matter. It's all the same.
I think they were just trying to say fanatic.
Yes. So throughout the movie, we see that there are this sort of anti-Hollywood sentiment done by a religious background, done by religious people, right? Like there's like all these people striking at the making of... the movie and stuff like that, which is actually true. That actually did happen in the 80s with Tipper Gore, Dee Snider. They kind of show a little bit of that at the beginning. And then
famously, John Denver fucking betrayed everybody.
Yeah.
to get some sort of endorsement for some political campaign he was going to do and ended up not doing, I think.
Yeah, exactly. So, so we find out that it's a dad who there's one brief scene. So this is where it started. This is where I finally have a lot of questions, like, because it's the dad who has been stalking her and like killing the people around her and like wanting to get to her.
Going
to her peep show, stuff like that.
Yeah.
Which surprisingly was not the thing I had the problem with, but the fact that like they had to do a scene setting up that Maxine, the very first shot of this movie is Maxine performing, right? The same thing that Pearl performed during her audition or something like that, right? Is the sort of like wink to that that film is Maxine performing that song and her dad recording it. We hear his voice that is sort of the hint that that's the father.
I was just going to say, which I know he came out in X as the televangelist that you're seeing on the television. I need to rewatch the movie, I guess. I don't really recall if Maxine ever said like anything being related to that guy. I know she didn't want to watch it.
Right. Yeah.
I feel like she did. I just don't remember. So when what we talked about was the big reveal at the end and it's the priest, her dad. I think I was expecting, like, nothing against Simon Prast, but I was expecting like some sort of like revelation actor, and I'm like, oh, I don't know who this is.
To me, the only thing that made sense story-wise would have been the director. So I was kind of hoping they would not do that. But so that was the only thing that kind of like was like, that's the only kind of thing that makes sense for me, a director being wanting her to be in her movie. I don't know. They could have done whatever with it. It's the only thing that kind of made sense who would want to kill her. So the to me, the whole dad thing, televangelist thing is so like kind of out of the blue and doesn't really, it's not like we can watch X and be like, oh, the dad's there, and then connect it to this movie. Yeah. It's literally, the dad is just literally introduced in this movie. So this is realistically the first time we're really getting a good sense of him, even though he may have been like sprinkled into the other movie a bit.
Yeah, because he was an ex.
Yes.
I did have to look that up. But I see what you're saying, and I think where maybe the story suffered and might have helped you is if he had been, they've been showing footage of what he was doing.
Yes.
Because the only reason he's killing all these people is to make a big movie so his daughter can actually be a star and be the one that saves the world from the devil or whatever the fuck.
Yeah, him being kind of like completely fanatical in his beliefs and him, I guess what they're also trying to say is like him having these ambitions to be a star is similar to that of Maxine's sort of obsessive, overly kind of like confident wanting to be a star. That's where she got it from. So this is kind of like, this is what her dad kind of raised her to be.
So yeah, essentially it's his fault that she is the way she is.
Yeah. And I just found all that to be a big miss, you know. I was like, maybe, even when I was watching this movie, it's like, okay, it's not the director. Who else could it be? Who was in the other movie? It's like, could this be Jenny Ortega? I was like, no, she's definitely dead.
Honestly, I called it was going to be her dad at the beginning. Yeah. And then I kind of gathered that he was like a priest or something from the video. I forgot how, but I was like, oh, okay. So I think her dad's the killer.
Yeah. So that's what I feel like is disappointing. It's like one of the things that's disappointing is that like they're not really, this is not really like a trilogy in that they're all deeply connected. You know, this isn't like Fast and the Furious type mythology where you got to know like so much about characters.
No.
They're sort of like loosely connected. And then you kind of have,
yeah, it's like the same universe.
Yeah. You got to have like this Mia Goth character kind of like being the through line through all three movies, whoever she's playing, right? Yeah. But more or less it's like, I think what the intention is that like there's, like you said, there's the televangelist is there, we didn't know that was her dad, so there's that little plot thread there. I was even thinking like to me, I was thinking this was more of a direct sequel to X timeline wise and that maybe Brittany Murphy's character would show up. I'm sorry, not Brittany Murphy. Excuse me, Brittany Snow. So I was like trying to find an actual literal connection, but I think what he was thinking in terms of is like loose connections. And I think,
yeah, because this in the timeline, I think this would be like 10 years later, 11 years later, something like that.
Yeah, I think.
Right, because X came out in it's supposed to be 1977
or 79 or something, right? So then it's like 5 or 6 years later.
Because she does mention, like, I'm about to be 33. I need to get moving if I'm going to be a star.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. I don't know. To me, it was just like, it's perfectly fine as a movie on its own. I just, like, disappointed it didn't have more of a connection as a trilogy, because that's what it was kind of prompted as, even though there are bits of it. But also, I was a little disappointed, like, this was, like, wasn't she, I'm trying to remember how this ends, right? That she thinks she made this movie. She has like this moment where she imagines her making this movie. She becomes like a big star, right? And then she actually starts making the movie. The Puritan 2 is kind of how we end the movie. correct?
Yeah, I'm not sure about that one. I guess that's up to interpretation. I don't know if you do see the future and that's what happens for her anyway.
I kind of feel like that was just her imagining what would happen. Like her going on the talk show, her going to the, you know, big premiere and everything, like all that, I think is her, what she's imagining is happening, but doesn't actually happen because she shoots her dad in the face and then she ends up barely at the beginning of making the movie because they have that, like, that moment of silence, right? Because of the actress, Lily Collins' character dies. Yeah.
Which I thought was like a funny sort of like, what a dark, humorous joke.
Very true to life.
Let's have a moment of silence. Yeah. A moment of silence, and then last time Maxine saw her, her head was rolling out of the bag, and then it's just a shot of her head on the bed.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, exactly.
Which was supposed to be a dream sequence.
Mm-hmm. So, like, I almost feel like, yeah, I don't know. I think maybe I'm overthinking it, but like, maybe there could have been more of a rival at Maxine's level. Meeting her, there should have been like a character like meeting her ambition as well. Kind of rivaling her, what I thought would be interesting. Never happens. But
I guess her dad wanted to have a
that's true, yeah. Which is odd.
I do like the parallel of like blowing off his head and how she ran over
Pearl's head, yeah.
The same fashion almost.
Yeah. So I thought it was a perfectly okay movie. Perfectly okay with it and stuff like that. A lot more gory than I thought it was going to be.
Yeah.
Didn't pull any punches.
Like I said, she gets mugged by some dude at the beginning and makes him
blow her gun
fellatially. And then makes him lay on his stomach, ass up, according to her, and then stomps on his balls so they explode out.
Yeah.
It started cheering.
I was like, I literally was like, why? Like, this movie, it's fine. It's the way it was done. It works. But I was like, why is this in the movie? But I think you kind of said something earlier where it's like, that scene is there because it shows how dangerous she is. And that's right.
Yeah. Like, her true character.
Her true character, yeah.
As a person.
She's not.
So I think the reason she wasn't as adamant about stopping things was because she was worried about losing her chance. Like, she just wanted it to go away so she could make her movie.
Right.
Mm-hmm. Which I thought was fun. So Giancarlo Esposito plays her agent. Mm-hmm. And he has this real funny scene, like, you tell him I'm top dog, blah blah blah. I was like, oh no, they're gonna kill Giancarlo Esposito, and nope. He ends up pulling through.
Yeah, same. I kind of thought the same thing.
He fucking catches Kevin Bacon. They squish Kevin Bacon in a car. I thought they were gonna keep Kevin Bacon alive.
Yeah.
So I was very surprised that they just killed him.
Yeah.
Squished him in the car and all the blood starts pouring out. And they're like, don't worry about this, Maxine. We'll clean it up. And they release the dogs to go lick up all the blood.
Yeah.
I was like, damn, dude. I will say I was a little bummed. I knew he was probably going to die, but the friend, the store clerk guy.
Her roommate.
Leon. Mm-hmm. I was a bit sad that he died.
Yeah, I feel like it kind of needed to be there, right? Like.
Yeah.
Yeah.
That's somebody she actually truly cared about.
Yeah.
Let's see. Oh, I did think it was fun. So we get the goofy cops trying to save the day, and if they weren't there, I think Maxine would have been branded. And that was the whole thing. Like, she needed her face. Mm-hmm. Like, it was bad enough. I think the idea was an X. It was bad enough. She had all those freckles that she was embarrassed about that she kept like trying to make up over. And they pop up, and then you go up, and the whole through joke for Bobby Cannavale was he wanted to be an actor, and then he ended up becoming a cop. Like, that's his fallback career. Like, I'm just a cop now.
Yeah.
Nick is an actor. And Michelle Monaghan going, like, you're too much. Like, it's not believable. Was that? That wasn't good.
Yeah.
And then when he they don't show them dying, but they show Bobby Cannavale passing away, but he's just already shot, and he's like, you know, I wanted to be an actor too.
Yeah.
Like Hollywood, and then he just passes away. And then Mia Goth is trying to run up the mountain because they finish this part of the movie at the Hollywood sign. I think it's important to note
right.
that. It's like, hey, you're up in the Hollywood
mm-hmm.
hills in the sign. And how Michelle Monaghan was like, I told you I was going to get him. And she's basically tumbling off the mountain because she has a cross stabbed in her
yeah.
eye. She just like flops off the mountain. I told you.
Yeah, I like their little interaction and their place in this movie. Yeah, this is where I was like, I didn't mind Bobby because he, it was funny. Yeah, because he's like totally overacting and being like playing a chauvinist cop or whatever. And she's just like, whatever, I don't have to do anything you say. And leaves. And she's like, was that too much? Like you said, like, was it over the top?
was I doing yeah.
that? So, yeah, and she kind of is more. Oh, I almost thought, also thought like, maybe it was the cop, the female cop. I was like, maybe she's the killer. I don't know. But oh, there's no motive. There's no motive, right, for her to be a part of that. But yeah. Cool. Any other thoughts before we rate it the movie?
No, I was trying to think of like what other extreme death there was. I mean, there was a lot of gore in this. It was kind of fun. No, you just rate it. Oh. I love the score. I forgot the guy that did the score is really talented.
Tyler Bates. Also, yeah. Some nice like needle drops. You had ZZ Top, which I was super big fan of. You know, you could literally put "Give Me All Your Lovin'" by ZZ Top in front of anything, and it works.
Yeah, pretty much,
it works as a scene. But
and do you think that was a nod to Ty West being from Texas?
Yeah, I mean, true Texans appreciate ZZ Top. So yeah. I 100% believe it was.
Even though he's born in Delaware, we claim him.
He claims us, John. We're he's Texas. Yeah. All right. Let's move over. Let's rate the movie. John, how many sexy spooky bones do you want to give it?
How many sexy spooky bones will you give it?
Sexy bones.
Ooh, sexy bones. Well, I know what you need.
Show us your
sexy spooky bones.
No, wait, don't do that. Just rate the movie.
I'm gonna give Maxine 8 sexy spooky bones.
I will go with 6. I'm going to go with 6. I think there's...
That's way higher than I thought you were
going to. No, I mean, I didn't hate the movie. I mean, there's movies I've hated. This movie I thought was just disappointing, but okay. Like, it's fine as a movie. I'm just disappointed that it didn't... all this talk of like, is this going to be the best trilogy ever? I can't believe it. Ty West did it. He's like the hype on this thing, for, at least for me. You know, through social media and everything, like, was intense to where I kind of was expecting it to like not in any way live up to that hype. And so, but some people liked it. Some people, you know, got something out of it. And I think there are things to enjoy about this movie. But
okay, if the reveal of the pastor and her dad was actually actor Toby Huss. Would you like that?
10 out of 10.
If it was randomly Toby Huss being the dad.
Yeah, I would have been much happier. Toby Huss should have been the dad.
Yeah. Which I get it. Nothing against that.
No, he was fine.
I was expecting some cameo of some sort for some reason.
Yeah.
Which technically it is, but.
He's the king. He sells mattresses.
Yeah. Toby Huss. Yeah.
Seinfeld.
Toby Huss was already the strongest man in the world. P&P.
Yeah. Alrighty. All right, that was our ratings. All right, guys, gals, I'm Binary Pals. Thank you for listening, and as always,
stay spooky.